Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Tomorrow, September 11th, marks the anniversary of probably the darkest day in Mormon history. It will be the anniversary of the Mountain Meadows Massacre. Even to this day, there are still a lot of unanswered questions as to what took place in that southern Utah area, known as the Mountain Meadows, where a group of about 123 Arkansas immigrants were mercilessly killed by members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. As I just stated, we don't have a clear understanding of all the details. In fact, there are three books, if you want to know more about this, that I would strongly recommend. Three books that at least I have read on this subject that I think others should as well. And I'm not to say that there aren't other books on it. There certainly are. But if there were any three that I would recommend reading, it would be The Mountain Meadows Massacre by Juanita Brooks. Now, this came out in 1950, so her book is a little bit dated, and there's been a lot of information that has surfaced since she wrote that book. And then we also have Blood of the Prophets, Brigham Young and the Massacre, Mountain Meadows, by Will Bagley. But I would also recommend that you read Massacre at Mountain Meadows, which was put together by three LDS church historians, Ronald W. Walker, Richard E. Turley, and Glenn M. Leonard, just to get a good overall view from different perspectives as to what actually happened on September 11th, 1857 at the Mountain Meadows. Now, on page 136 of the book put together by the three Mormon historians, Walker, Turley, and Leonard, this is what they say. No record of the decision-making, talking about the decision to actually kill the immigrants that were on their way from Arkansas to California going through Utah at that particular time, no record of the decision-making survived, but everything about 1857 must have been part of the calculation, the Reformation, the war, the rumors, and the nerves.
Well, Bill, you mentioned Reformation. We all know what the Protestant Reformation was. What exactly is the Mormon Reformation?
Well, this is really important to take into account because this was a time period in Utah, and I'll actually give you the definition according to the Encyclopedia of Mormonism. It says on Volume 3 on page 1197, it says, "The Mormon Reformation commenced in early September 1856, when President Brigham Young sent his counselor Jedediah M. Grant to preach reform in settlements north of Salt Lake City. While speaking to assembled saints, Grant was prompted to commit them to reform and to instruct them to signify that commitment through rebaptism." What it was, it became a long, enduring sermon series, if you will, but anyway, it was actually a number of speeches that were encouraging Latter-day Saints to make recommitments to their faith. And this included a lot of recommitment to loyalty to the leaders in the church, a recommitment to their covenants that they were making in the church and such. And it was also during this time that you see the sermons on blood atonement. In fact, this article in the Encyclopedia of Mormonism actually mentions that. It says, "While President Young did preach that forgiveness for certain sins could come only through the sinner shedding his blood, such comments reflect his style more than his intent." Now, if you go through the Journal of Discourses and you read some of the sermons on this subject, I think the Encyclopedia of Mormonism is not being totally fair in that assessment. I think it's really downplaying what Brigham Young was trying to get across, because we do know that there were people who at that time really understood Brigham Young to mean what he said, that if you sinned a sin that was beyond the atoning power of the blood of Jesus, that the sinner himself would have to shed his own blood. And we know that there were some people that actually believed Brigham Young to mean just that.
Well, on September 21st, 1856, he says in Journal of Discourses, Volume 4, he says, I know there are transgressors who, if they knew themselves in the only condition upon which they can obtain forgiveness, would beg of their brethren to shed their blood, that the smoke might ascend to God as an offering to appease the wrath that is kindled against them, and that the law might have its course. You heard that from Young. Also, Willard Richards and George A. Smith hinted to that as well. Mm-hmm. But it seems like, especially in Journal of Discourses, Volume 4, you hear a lot about it, and it happens to be during the very time period we're talking about with this Mountain Meadows Massacre.
Yeah, remember, the Reformation went over a long period of time in 1856 and 1857, and then when the authors of this book, by the church, Massacre at Mountain Meadows, they also mentioned not only the Reformation, but the war. Now, what was that? Well, there was a lot of miscommunication during that time between the federal government and what was going on in the territory in Utah. Brigham Young was the governor, but James Buchanan, who was running for president in 1856, and remember, what was the big slogan of the 1856 campaign was speaking out against the twin relics of barbarism, which was slavery and polygamy. Buchanan wanted to separate himself from Brigham Young, so he is going to take Brigham Young out of office and replace him with a man by the name of Alfred Cumming. The problem, though, he doesn't really make all this known to Brigham Young very clearly, and in order to make sure that it's going to be a peaceful transition, he sends a contingent of soldiers out to Utah to make sure there's no problems in this transition. Well, Brigham Young doesn't know why these soldiers are coming. He's assuming that the reason they're coming is so that they could wipe out the Mormons. Because remember, the Mormons have gone through a lot of persecution up until this time. There's no doubting this. That's the one reason why they were in Utah, is they had left. And they've been there for 10 years now. And now they're starting to see an army come out, and they're not really sure what's going on. And so Brigham Young is assuming that they're actually going to come out to actually do violence to the Latter-day Saints. This is what Brigham Young said on August 16th, 1857, and this is published in Will Bagley's book, Blood of the Prophets. You can find it on page 89. He says that Brigham Young stood at his pulpit in Great Salt Lake City. He looked over the congregation and he declares, I am at the defiance of all hell and governments, but especially ours. They raise a force to come and slay all the Latter-day Saints, men, women, and children. I tell you, the Lord Almighty and the elders of Israel being our helpers, they shall not come to this territory. I will fight them, and I will fight all hell. Young gave a number of messages dealing with this subject. And you can understand how fearful they probably were that the government was going to come in and do them harm, because they really don't know what's going on. But right in the middle of all this, you've got this wagon train coming from Arkansas, heading towards California.
Talk about bad timing.
Being at the wrong place at the wrong time. Now remember, the Mormons are expecting a siege. They're expecting the government to come in. So they're preparing for what Brigham Young actually called the big fight. That's actually supposed to be a quote from him. So here comes this wagon train, and they're going to need supplies because they're about to cross a huge desert, so they need to resupply. Well, the Mormons are saving up for this big fight, and naturally Brigham Young doesn't want them giving a lot of supplies to other people because they're going to need them themselves. So in order to replenish their herds and such, this wagon train has to ultimately head south towards what was known as the Mountain Meadows. They were going to fatten up their cattle, their oxen and such, before they had to cross the desert. And this is where the problems start coming in, because they get to Cedar City, and according to the book put out by the Mormon church historians, the people in Cedar City, they run into some problems, and they say on page 132 of the book, Massacre at Mountain Meadows, the members of the Arkansas Company reached Cedar City around noon on Thursday, September 3rd, this is 1857, staying only a little over 1 hour. They were going to get some grain to be ground at a mill, and while they were waiting, some immigrant men sampled the Mormon sagebrush whiskey.
Hmm.
Sold at the nearby distillery.
Wasn't, Wasn't the word of wisdom already in play?
It still was in play at this time, although it was still pretty much a suggestion at that time. But then getting a little more of this than they should, one settler said they talked very freely. So what happens is there's an altercation that goes on because in exchange for the grinding at the mill, they want a cow in exchange, which of course was, well, typically highway robbery. That was an exorbitant amount in order to pay for what they needed at that time. So this difference of opinion breaks out, and there's words that are exchanged. There's insults that are exchanged. They threaten the immigrants with arrest, and the immigrants say they're not going to have any part of this. Now, remember, they're only there for an hour. They're only there for an hour, but ultimately, they leave. On page 134, it says, some men in Cedar City, like men elsewhere in America, followed a code of honor that required anyone who insulted a wife, mother, or sister to apologize or be punished. So this now becomes a matter of pride. The immigrants have left. They've left Cedar City, and now they're heading south towards St. George, and they're going to go a little bit to the west to this place called Cedar City, which is several miles north of St. George. And during this time now, the people in Cedar City, the leaders of the Mormon Church in Cedar City, are making plans to do harm to the immigrants. And there's something that's interesting to be told here, that these historians admit that the immigrants had not physically harmed anyone, but Isaac Haight, they say, Isaac Haight was a local leader in the Mormon Church there at that time, had sufficient legal cause to arrest and fine them. Territorial ordinances declared that anyone publicly intoxicated so as to endanger the peace and quiet of the community shall be liable to arrest and fine. Profaning the name of God was also subject to a fine. So based on this, this is what these Mormon historians want us to believe is what led up to the killing of these immigrants on the way to California. It's hard for me to believe, but tomorrow we're going to talk about what actually happened after the wagon train left Cedar City towards the Mountain Meadows and all the decisions that were made in the development of what's known as the Mountain Meadows Massacre.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 and Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information or call 602-788-8864.